From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the book of Acts as he brings the final portion of a message called Fulfilling the Task. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Morning by Morning by Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed. There are several instructive features in our Savior's prayer in his hour of trial. It was lonely prayer. He withdrew even from his three favored disciples. Believer, be much in solitary prayer, especially in times of trial. Family prayer, social prayer, prayer in the church will not suffice. These are very precious, but the best beaten spice will smoke in your censer in your private devotions, where no ear hears but God's. It was humble prayer. Luke says he knelt, but another evangelist says he fell on his face. Where then must be thy place, thou humble servant of the great Master? What dust and ashes should cover thy head? Humility gives us a good foothold in prayer. There is no hope of prevalence with God unless we abase ourselves, that he may exalt us in due time. It was filial prayer. Abba, Father. You will find it a stronghold in the day of trial to plead your adoption. You have no rights as a subject. You have forfeited them by your treason. But nothing can forfeit a child's right to a father's protection. Be not afraid to say, My Father, hear my cry. Observe that it was persevering prayer. He prayed three times. Cease not until you prevail. Be as the importunate widow whose continual coming earned what her first supplication could not win. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Lastly, it was the prayer of resignation. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Yield, and God yields. Let it be as God wills, and God will determine for the best. Be thou content to leave thy prayer in his hands, who knows when to give, and how to give, and what to give, and what to withhold. So pleading, earnestly, importunately, yet with humility and resignation, thou shalt surely prevail.
In these troublesome times for our nation, many voices are looking to the government or to social action for the solution. But the only real answer to the human predicament is a true spiritual revival. Many Christians have no idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense. Certainly, the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. But down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved, times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with John Edwards. These were times of genuine spiritual revivals. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches had to be built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of Duncan Campbell's own account of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. There's also a CD containing the personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. Either CD is $5, or you may obtain both for $8, which includes postage and handling. To obtain your own copy, you may simply send a check for either or both CDs to LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. Continuing this series of studies in the book of Acts, Dr. Cairns is focusing on verses 1 through 26 of chapter 14. During their first missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas traveled to a number of the cities in Asia Minor, and in each of those they encountered particular problems. In Iconium there was great division, caused by unbelieving Jews who were angry that Gentiles were receiving the gospel. In Lystra there was great danger, as those hostile to the gospel stoned Paul nearly to death. After preaching in Derbe, the apostle showed great dedication as they returned to the scenes of their rejection and opposition to confirm the new converts. Upon their return to Antioch, Paul and Barnabas found that the church there had been praying for them, and now on the basis of what they reported, others went out to preach the gospel. Now here is Dr. Cairns to conclude this message entitled, Fulfilling the Task.
I believe that God is looking, whether he ever claims it actually from us in our experience or not, is the Lord's choice, not ours. But I believe the Lord is looking for a people who will say, I care not for friends or home, I care not for comforts. I care not what the price may be. I want the will of God, and I'll do the will of God should I die in the effort. It's the courage of these men. Notice their concern, verse 22. I think a lot of modern-day evangelists would do well with a little of this concern. Confirming the souls of the disciples. Nowadays, everything is geared to get the big decision. That's that. Well, these men went back confirming the souls of the believers. In other words, after people get saved, there must be a teaching ministry. There must be that which will ground them in the Word of God, confirming their souls. And not only that, but exhorting them to continue in the faith. Exhorting them to go on with God. Stirring them up to go on with God. You know, that tells me something. It tells me that people can be saved and settle down. Tells me that the apostles saw the danger of people being saved and then just settling back and losing their first love and their first zeal and their first vision and their first fire for Christ. That danger has become a reality in so many of God's people today. And just have a look at yourself. Let me be, I didn't intend to say this, but I'll say it anyway. Let me be perfectly frank and pointed with you this morning. You've sat through just over 1 hour of the Sabbath service. You've sung the psalm, heard the choir, we've sung a hymn, we've read the scriptures, we've meditated in God's word. Tell me, has your heart once been stirred? Or are you sitting in God's house this morning, grimly enduring? You're here because that's where a Christian ought to be. But all the old fire has died out. The first love has gone. The real zeal for Christ is missing. If there's one thing that's not stamped upon your life as a Christian, it is reality. Well, my friend, let me tell you, that is the very danger that the apostle was concerned about, that Christians would settle down. God save us from it. God save us from it. Where we know everything and we feel nothing. My, that's a curse. That's a curse. I would rather far have a man that knew little, but felt what he knew and loved what he knew, than have a man that knew it all and felt nothing. Oh, may God give us a heart to go on with him, save us from settling back. And then he taught them that through much tribulation we must enter into the kingdom of God. And even in modern-day comfortable America, there is no easy way to heaven. It's still hard in the flesh. And I tell you, the man that's walking the pilgrim journey is a man who, through much tribulation, who through agony of heart and soul will enter into heaven. Now, of course, he's not saved because of his agony. He is the agony because he's saved. He has all the hatred of hell against him. You can't tell me that a man who has the burden of God's work upon his heart can go through week after week and not feel a thing when souls are going down to hell. You can't tell me that a man is in touch with God and doesn't feel the anguish of soul when he gets down to pray and plead for his family and for his friends and for his country. I'll tell you, friend, even in times like these, which could very easily change, of course, but in times like these, where there's not the sword awaiting those who stand for God, nonetheless, there is the agony of heart always in the case of a man who's gone through with the Savior. Their concern was that these people would go on whatever the cost. Notice how they conducted church affairs. 23. Good Presbyterians they were. They ordained them elders in every church. They ordained them presbyters in every church. That's how the church is run. God, I don't want to get into it today in detail. I may have cause to come back to it again, so I'll leave it lightly today. But the Lord has offices in the church. He has the office of the ministering elder and is the office of the ruling elder. And the apostles wasted no time once they had people who were confirmed in the faith and who were willing for any tribulation for the cause of Christ. They ordained them elders in every church. I think that it's not just coincidence that the ordination of the elders comes immediately after continuing in the faith, etc. Because elders must be men of preeminent holiness. Elders must be men of preeminent faithfulness. I used to listen to Dr. Paisley as he preached. He used to thump it out at us ministers and students, and of course to the elders. But every minister, he wants his congregation to pray, must himself be a man of prayer. It's true of every elder. They are to be preeminent in gifts and graces. Then notice verse 23, the fact of commendation. They commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. There comes a time when you've got to leave the work in God's hands. Comes a time when you've got to say, Lord, we have done what you told us to do. You've blessed the labor of our hands. And now you must carry it on to its fulfillment and its full fruition. They commended them to the Lord's hands. And verse 24 through to 28, they completed their task. I think this is one of the nicest statements that the Lord can make about any man, that the task was done. Not left half done, but done. Notice very carefully, starting at verse 24. After they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. Verse 25, the word was preached. When they had preached the word in Perga, they went down into Attalia. They preached the word. And then we notice that their work was fulfilled. The end of verse 26. They came to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. I couldn't help thinking there, was there not a contrast with John Mark intended? John Mark set out, but at Perga he turned back. These men struck it out. These men finished the job. I wonder where, in terms of that contrast, you stand this morning. There are people, and by the grace of God, they're finishing the job. They started out to pray for revival, and they're continuing. They started out to witness to souls, and they're continuing. They started out to be faithful to God, and they're continuing. They haven't diminished in their zeal. They haven't lost their fire. They haven't lost their vision. They're going on with God. There are others, and they started out just the same way, but they've given up. Where are you? Are you one of the stoppers, the quitters? Or by the grace of God, are you finishing the job? Then they came back to their home church. This is always a great thing. I look forward to the day when it will be true of this church. When missionaries sent out by the church come back, and the wonders are related, the mighty story of God's mighty acts. I think Paul and Barnabas must have been greatly thrilled to come back to Antioch in Syria. to tell the people what had been done. And I think the people must have been no less thrilled to hear it. Sometimes, you know, when we hear missionaries home on furlough, it's just the excitement of something different. Oh, tell us the gory details. When Adoniram Judson came back to the United States from Burma, he, of course, was a celebrity. And everybody wanted to hear him. Churches were queuing up to get booking him. And everywhere he went, he preached Christ. One day he went to this meeting. The chairman said, "Brother, tell us something exciting today." So Judson got up and he said, "I'm going to tell you something exciting. What more exciting thing could I tell you than God sent his Son into the world?" So he preached Christ to them. You can get to the stage where you just want to have your curiosity satisfied. But there is a great and spiritual and worthy objective in missionaries coming back to tell the story of God's mighty acts. First, these people had been praying and they were encouraged to know that God answers prayer. Second, these people had been growing. And this was the time, I'm sure, when God would start stirring the hearts of others to lead them out. God is moving, calling others for the work of the gospel. As I say, I look forward to the day when this church will have become a veritable Antioch. I said when I preached in the church in Antioch, not in it, but on it, that I trusted this church would fulfill everything that the Church of Antioch was, one of the greatest churches the world has ever seen, the cradle of Gentile Christianity. I pray, God, that soon from our midst there'll be young men going out with the gospel, that they'll be able to come back to tell the story of what God hath done, that the Lord may have all the glory, that our hearts may be stirred, and that another generation of preachers and missionaries may be sent out of God, so that the work will keep on keeping on until the Savior comes in glory. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts for his name's sake. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, bless thy word to all our hearts. Lord, reinstate such a missionary movement in our day as the apostles knew in their day. Lord, find some Paul or Barnabas here. Oh God, give us the same power. Lord, grant us the divine testimony. Grant that we may so speak that multitudes will believe. O Lord, our God, save precious souls through thy word. We pray that thou wilt quicken and revive thy people through thy word. Lord, save us from settling down. Save us, O Lord, from stopping short of the blessing of the Lord. Hear us now, we pray. We ask all these things in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.